Welcome to the Court Report. I'm Jerry Price. I'm here with Princeton women's basketball coach Courtney Banghart. And coach, welcome.
Thanks a lot. Glad to be here.
So season ended in the first round of the NCAA tournament. We talked last week about playing Kentucky and see how that went. And so here we are at the end of the 2018-19 season, which has been a pretty interesting one. And when you have the amount of success that you've had through the years, I don't think maybe there are some years where you just know your team is the best team and they're going to win. I don't think this was one of them. You went through a lot this year. Just, you know, the quick overview of 2018-19, what stands out to you?
Resilience. You know, we were really a resilient group. I told them that of the seven other times I went to the NCAA tournament, we were coming into it as being sort of an unchallenged team for at least the last 15 or so games. This year was so different. We had been challenged every step of the way, and we're kind of used to playing with our backs against the wall, which is what you're doing at the NCAA tournament. So I told them that before the game in prep, that one of our advantages this year was sort of the resilience we had to show all year. I'd also say the competitive leadership of our seniors. They showed that the power, as you and I have talked about many times, the power of seniors, right? They are not my two most talented seniors, but they are two of the most successful seniors in their senior years because of the grit and competitiveness which I would say they are is their staple. So you take that, and then the stardom. I mean, if you have a superstar, you got a chance against anybody. So I thought it was just a resilient group and a fun year now that I'm looking back on it. But we just had our close-up meeting as a staff, and we were reminded of a new staff that how much we went through as a staff and as a team, and we're all stronger for it.
I mean, you went through turnover on your staff before the season even started, which you had to deal with. And then Bella breaks her wrist and missed the first nine games. You're 1-7 at one point. You lose to Penn in the Ivy opener. And I know we've talked about this a lot, but you had to sit on that for 4 weeks. And, you know, that had to be just excruciating. And then 2-2 in the league and when Penn is 4-0, and then to win 10 straight to tie for the championship and then to win the Ivy tournament and then to get the NCAA is pretty impressive.
Well, and we were 2-2 in the league. I've been asked which is worse, being 1-7 or 2-2.
Being 2-2,
especially when the only two losses were at home. So you still have to go to, you know, Penn and to Harvard and to Yale and to, you know. That's why I say resilient. They just trusted me, and we did what we could day to day to make sure we were getting better.
I mean, the 1-7 is explainable because it wasn't, you know, you picked those teams to play, and they were really good teams. It's not like you went out and scheduled, you know, a pretty soft schedule, and all of a sudden you're 1-7. The 2-2 was... You know, that's a time where
you're looking at it like, oh no,
right? You know, some years it just doesn't go right, and you can start to think at that point, you know, maybe this isn't going to be the year. Was there a moment? Was there a meeting? Was there something a player said at some point or anything that really turned things around, or it just was everybody bought in and
After the Penn loss, I went up to the eating club that a bunch of our upperclassmen are in, and I sort of met just the upperclassmen and talked about, you know, what you had wanted for your theme was Rise as One. That was our team theme this year because of all the newness. How are you doing and how are we doing with that, right? And then also, what do you think about what you want your legacy to be, what you said in the beginning of the season, and are you honoring that? And then lastly, who you wanted to be as upperclassmen leaders, remember that, and are you honoring that? And it was a really uncomfortable conversation because it was real. And it was like, well, I'm coming up short in this area and I'm coming up short in that area. And it was, you know, we've got a month now to rewrite it. So that was an important time, and I sort of looked at them, and I'll never forget it. The two seniors in particular, two captains, sort of said right away, like, I just feel like I'm letting the program down. You know, this is senior year is an important year. And I said, you're not – our goal to win an Ivy title is still at play. I mean, we just – you have to just – at some point, you have to trust those you love. And, like, you're playing for a competitor. Like, just trust it. And – be a little bit better in terms of the things that you set your mind to before the season started, and just kind of recalibrated. And you know, it was uncomfortable for a couple weeks, but we found a way.
So Gabrielle Rush, one of those two seniors, sets the school single season record for three pointers. Did you have a sense that she could achieve that? Her first 3 years, she was mostly a role player, didn't start any games, had contributed well at a lot of times. But did you see her making this kind of a leap? That record stood since 1990 from Sandy Bittler. The only men's players ever had more than the threes that she had this year was Sean Jackson in 1991.
How many did she end up with?
91, and he had 93.
Yeah.
you know, that's...
I think I had 97, so I still beat her. No, the, you know, I would say with Rush, she's so competitive. And I told her this when we had our senior night, that she's so competitive and so am I, that that could have been like oil and water. And we just knew that the program's development and the program's success was going to be us being good teammates with one another. You know, two of the most competitive people in the world working together. You know, she learned a lot this year. She learned to jump stop. She learned to ball handle. She learned to lead. And her skill of shooting, as she got better at other things and focused less on that one skill, I think that really helped her.
But that's a lot of three-pointers.
It's a lot of
three-pointers. Think of all the great players that you've had come through here who didn't come close to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even Blake Dietrich. And, you know, for her to make that kind of leap. And then Cindy Jordan, you know, what's the word you would use to describe her? Very consistent.
Gritty. Accountable.
And in addition, a Pine Prize winner.
Yeah, and I said to her, it was cute, in the locker room after the game, I talked about how Rush didn't start until her senior year. Of course, playing off of Bella helps, right? But I said, you know, that shows you the progression you can have as a player if you just go day by day. And then I said about Sydney, I said, I'm not sure she would score 20 points in an empty gym. But she's a three-year starter because of what she brings. She's accountable, she's gritty, she's tough, and she does what it takes to win on the defensive and the hustle plays. And so she's kind of the heart of what our program's about. And then those two to go out. And then I looked at Kalea, and, you know, of course people were weepy at this time because you feel so bad for what she's had to go through.
And you're sort of left wondering what she would have been.
Exactly.
If she never got hurt.
Yeah, and we said to Kalea, she spent more time in the training room in rehab than she did on our own team. And yet she stuck with, she showed everybody how important you can be as a teammate, even though she wasn't on the floor. And so those three lessons, if you're talking gritty and accountable, and you're talking sticking with the process and contributing when it's your turn, and then when you're talking about being a teammate, I mean, that's what this team was about. And so they can be really proud of that in their senior year.
And you know, like I said, you're left to wonder what kind of career Kalea would have had, because if she never got hurt at all, ever, had four injury-free years, you know, she's a 1,000-point scorer.
No, for sure. I mean, she was a big recruit. You know, that was a big get for us to get her, of her athleticism and dynamicism. And also, she loves the game of basketball. And I have shown here that if you love the game of basketball, I can get you better, you know. And I think she was someone I was just looking forward to develop. But yeah, she never could quite stay healthy.
So let's go back to the game against Kentucky. Mm-hmm. What were you thinking leading into it?
I thought, honestly, I knew that it was another tough matchup. I don't know why we keep getting the press teams. There's only a few of them in college basketball left. And we keep drawing them with Maryland last year and then this year with Kentucky. But I knew that, you know, we had our backs were against the wall longer this year and for later. And so there was an advantage to that. So it was and then also knowing that we had been to that same gym the year before and we had left with regret. And I felt like win or lose, we never really sunk our teeth into the game. And I just urged our players every day that, like, in life you get opportunity, you earn opportunities for big moments. And when you have a big moment, win or lose, don't regret. Do not have regret. And so each of you is a part of this and bring it, or else you're going to have regrets. And then I can't help you through that.
So as the game unfolded, you know, played with the lead for much of the time, mm-hmm. You know, what was going well and then what got away a bit?
Yeah, you know, it was basically...
And even with Bella picking up two fouls.
Yeah, we had to move her we went to zone and moved her to the wing. I mean, we had to do
and
some things tactically.
She got the first foul is the kind you don't want to get if you're Valerie.
Yeah, tell me about it. Yeah, she... that was... We knew we had to navigate that for a little bit. And also the margin of error against a press team when you have one primary ball handler, you know, which Carly's really a primary ball handler for us. We don't... It's not really what Rush or Grace are ready to do yet or... you know, I knew that the margin of error was so small. And so we had we needed 40 really good minutes and we played 38 really good minutes. And those 2 minutes, ended up costing us the game, which obviously is heartbreaking, but 38 is a whole lot better than 30 or 20 or 10 or
so
zero.
I'm actually, you know, that's kind of a question I was going to ask you because you guys lost by 5, mm. The Yale men lost by 5, mm-hmm. The Colgate men lost by 7 mm. to Tennessee, you might have seen some of that game. Mm-hmm. Their best player, Colgate, was Patriot League Player of the Year. He had something wrong with his eyes, and he couldn't see. And so he had to just sit on the bench, couldn't even play. And then they had another sophomore who scored 32. But when you see teams, Ivy Patriot teams, and mm-hmm. I honestly didn't look to see how the Patriot women's team did.
Mm-hmm. Bucknell lost by 3 to Florida State.
Right. So, like, okay, so it sort of fits the pattern. But, like, when these games are so close, what – on the one hand, you have teams used to winning close games, mm-hmm. but on the other hand, like, what does it just show you how hard it is to actually pull that off? Like you said, you have to do it for the 40 minutes, yeah. And then the run comes, and it's that one little piece that you can't overcome.
Yeah, the margin of error due to the athleticism and size and speed is, you know, their points can come easier. That's just the nature of the game. It's sort of like Bella's fast and tall. So in our conference, the points come a little bit easier to her than they do everybody else. And so, yeah, the margin of error is so small as you get to play a top 20 team. And
Bella with 20 points, 15 rebounds, 6 assists.
Mm, yeah, she's, I mean, I talked to, you know, the person who called our game, Mike Tebow, is the head coach of the DC team, the Mystics. And he, you know, was sort of like, hey, is there any chance she's going to come out early? I was like, no, that's not going to happen. But he has a top 10 pick next year, but not a top 5. And so he says, it's such a bummer, I'm not going to get a chance at her. And I said, you think she's a top 5 pick? And he said, without a doubt, it's a top 5 pick. So she played like it. I looked at her sheet. I'm getting ready to do the postseason form for this year. And I looked at her postseason form from last year, and I had said, like, one of the main areas of growth for her is to see herself as a lottery pick and to mentally and physically own that and to get stronger and to get better with her left and to be better around the rim. And you look at it and you just kind of say, check, check, check.
She came within 7 points of the school record for points in a season, and she missed 9 games.
I know, and I probably could have played her a few more of the other games to get that. The good thing
is, anyway, knowing that.
I know that she get that close. Yeah, you know, she had a huge year, and we needed it because, again, our margin with error is smaller. We weren't quite as deep as we have been.
At what point do you start to look ahead to next year, because it looks like you have a lot? I mean, you know, we talked about the seniors, and those will be losses, but, you know what you have coming in. Mm-hmm. You know, you have coming back, and it's a good
it's a good core. And, yeah, you know, we just had our close-up meeting, and I told the staff, like, now get away for a week, you know, because I want to reapproach this new team with the freshness that they deserve, that it's not this year's team with next year's players. It's a whole new team next year, and I very much like the pieces I have coming back. Taylor Bauer hopefully is healthier for longer, too. She showed you in that game how helpful she can be. You know, it's on paper, it's one of the more talented teams I've had here at Princeton. And I'm a better coach than I was 10 years ago when we also had a lot of talent. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of reason to be excited and hopeful.
Presumably the schedule for next year is pretty much set.
Oh, yeah, it's done.
I
yep.
assume it's challenging.
Yeah, we're at Iowa, at Iowa State for Carly. Those are two top. Obviously, Iowa won the Big Ten championship, and Iowa State hosted a tournament, so they were in the top 20 as well. We're at Missouri, who won a tournament game as well, and we're at St. Louis. And then we, of course, have Penn State at home, who's a Big Ten. We've got a lot of returns from, you know, more home games from the teams that we played. So, yeah, it's another top 30 team schedule.
So what do you say to Bella between now and next year?
In terms of her improvement?
Yeah.
We're going to, yeah, you know, I think part of it, she's got to, because
what percentage of Bella Allery have we seen? You know, maybe it's 100% of how good
she No. She'll continue to get stronger physically, and she's got to re-familiarize herself with, now that she missed all that time with her hand, she's got to re-familiarize herself with her three-point shot off the catch, her three-point shot off the cut, how to use screens, so that she is truly a guard forward. So her, with her perimeter work, will continue to kind of grow that part of her game a little bit more.
And then you have another first-team All-Ivy League selection back, Carly Littlefield. Mm-hmm. We haven't really talked much about her on this particular conversation, but what do you think her ceiling is now?
You know, she's got to...
Because she made a huge jump.
She did. She's got to be a better finisher around the rim. She's got to be able to kind of create a runner for herself and kind of have a variety of finishes because she's good enough at getting in there. And then for her, it's a lead guard is just that, a lead guard. I don't call it a point guard for a reason. You know, what does pointing mean? Like, she's a lead guard. And so for her, she had an improved area of leadership, but particularly by action. I need her now to have an improved leadership with her voice, and she can do that. I mean, the kid wants to be great. She's got a great work ethic, as you know. She's a warrior. She's a winner. She's relentless. She's tough. But I'm going to try to help her take the lead part of lead guard and own that.
And then the 5 freshmen on this year's team.
Six
freshmen.
Mm-hmm.
I thought
it's a lot.
That's a lot. But mm-hmm. and they all sort of show you something.
Oh, for sure. And they've got now.
What's the message to them?
6 more months. The message right after the game was that that you've learned, you've only been here a year, and look what you've learned: resilience, grit, leadership, competitiveness, and how fun it is to be at the top. It's really fun, because you also saw when we weren't at the top, you know, and it's way more fun when you're winning. And so it's hard to win, and you don't want to find out too late that you're not good enough. You want to find out soon that you're good enough to do something special. And so for them, they're ready to get back to work. We're giving them, you know, the NCAA requires a 2-week hiatus. So they're in that 2-week hiatus right now. And then we'll get them in the weight room and in skill work very soon.
And that's about it for 2018-19. It was your 8th trip to the NCAA tournament in 10 years.
That's cool.
7 Ivy League championships, 10 straight postseasons. Princeton, of course, had never been to the NCAA tournament. before you got here. So that's 8 of them.
And you talk Which about, now is the most I learned from you.
Yes, it
so
is.
So thanks
most,
for that. We did tweet it. It was our stat of the day. We very much appreciate it.
You know, just a really exciting year.
Thanks, Jerry.
Nothing was given, even with Bella when she came back. And, you know, really no margin for error in every game down the stretch. There was, you could look at a million different moments of that season. The fourth quarter against Harvard.
Yeah.
The way Cornell and Columbia came back on you at home.
The Penn NCAA, the Ivy League championship game.
Yeah, where you trailed for more than you led. And, you know, so there's a lot of great moments in the season. And as you always say, you know, you want to hang a banner from each season, and you get to do that now.
We do, and that will last forever. And now next year's seniors are, and I told them in the locker room after the game, it's Taylor and Bella, it's your team now. And you've seen the power of seniors, and it's your turn to live it. And I know Bella texted me the next day about she and Tay have already sat down, and they want desperately to get this team to a Sweet 16. And as long as I know their goals, my job is to get them there. So I'll be ready to push them as hard as I can.
So we did not miss a week this year. We mixed up the days a bit, but we're here every week.
Consistency.
That's 2 years down, so looking forward to more. We're going to talk
Thanks
a few
a
times between now and when the season starts.
Yeah, of course.
So we'll be back a few times, you know, maybe in the late spring around reunions and a couple times in the summer, and then once school starts again. Want to thank you for taking the time each week, and I know people like it and appreciate to hear directly from you. And
you too. I thought it was your brain power, and I know people are enjoying it, so thanks a lot.
So for Courtney Banghart, congratulations on another great season.
Thanks.
And I'm Jerry Price, and I want to thank everybody who's listened each week to the Court Report, and thank you for, again, your continued support of Princeton women's basketball.